since 1972 and are experts in pre-arrangement, right down to the last detail. Details that you may not be aware of. The Thomas M. Steichner Funeral Home in Socorro walks you through the entire process, explaining everything, and most often will save you money. 100% of all pre-need purchase money is placed in a trust fund in the name of the person buying the merchandise and service. So before you decide on anything, be sure to call 445-2200. That's 445-2200 and talk with Tom Steichner or Tammy Steichner, second generation of the Steichner family. Pre-arrangement by the Thomas M. Steichner Funeral Home in Socorro. Go ahead. Give them a call. Do it today while you're thinking about it.
Quick look at the weather. We're still looking for some rain, possibly even some snow by this afternoon. High is going to reach 34. Then tonight, cloudy with a low around 21. Cloudy with snow showers likely for the day tomorrow. Not much accumulation expected, though, with a high near 26. Thursday, mostly sunny and a high again near 26. Right now, our current temperature outside 32. We made it to 35 for a high yesterday. The low was 28. Sunset will be at 4:53 this afternoon. From the Next Tier Bank studio of WISR, I'm Pat Parker reporting for your noon news. Next Tier Bank is your hometown community bank, committed to the community, committed to you. Dave Malarkey and It's Your Turn will be coming up shortly.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Kind of a gray day right now, but not a whole lot of precip in our area at this point. We had some last evening and overnight and early this morning, but really it didn't turn out to be as bad as we feared it might be. And there was not a lot of widespread icing in our area, so just kind of a dreary and wet day. A little chilly. Temperature hasn't moved all day long so far. It's been 32 degrees since 4:35 o'clock this morning. It's an Ask the Veterinarian Day. Today we welcome Dr. Dennis Damon, veterinarian from Suburban Animal Clinic, visiting with us here today. Dr. Damon, good to see you.
Glad to be here.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Same to everybody.
You realize 1 week from today, it's Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Next Tuesday.
Doesn't seem like it's getting here, but it's grudgingly getting here.
Saw a story, was on the TV news last night, and I forget the exact number, but it was millions and millions of dollars that people spend on getting Christmas gifts for their pets. That's pretty common, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's kind of funny. But they buy the silliest things and dress them up and things like that. Really, really odd, but we care for our pets.
Well, they're members of the family. It is kind of funny, though, to see a dog with reindeer antlers on his head.
You know,
and some people do that. I'm sure you've seen the pictures, right?
Well, we dress our cars up nowadays, so that's in our ballpark.
Well, doesn't hurt the animals any, but you have to wonder once in a while what they're thinking, you know?
Yeah.
When somebody comes up to Fido with these fake reindeer antlers to put on his head. Actually, our dogs, especially dogs, they understand a lot more than what some people think, right?
Yeah, they do. It's amazing what dogs can think and do and predict what behaviors that we do once they're here in your presence.
Mm-hmm.
They can almost pick what you're thinking sometimes.
Yeah. And they're able to understand not necessarily complex sentences, but they can understand, and they certainly can recognize familiar voices and familiar people. Sometime, you know, we've seen stories about this after years and years and years, where a dog will be reunited with a previous owner, and they know instantly who it is.
Yep, yep. Certain characteristics, certain smells, certain things that we do, all are clicked into their memory banks.
Mm-hmm. Our phone number, by the way, is 283-2525. If you have any questions along the way while I'm chatting with veterinarian Dr. Dennis Damon, feel free to join our conversation. 283-2525. I always like to review things, the do's and don'ts of the holiday season with our pets, particularly our dogs and cats, because that's certainly the vast majority of domestic animals, domestic pets. There are holiday foods that are absolute no-nos for dogs and cats. Chocolate is one of them, right?
You could feed one piece of chocolate, but even that can be detrimental to a very, very small dog.
Mm-hmm.
In human beings, we don't have the enzyme and don't have to worry about the enzyme. But in animals, they don't, or they lack it. It's called theobromine. And feeding too much chocolate can be very toxic to them.
Now, what about grapes or raisins?
You want to stay away from them, too.
Dogs can't handle them, huh?
They can't handle those either.
Hmm. Does this just make them sick? Or, I mean, can that possibly kill a dog?
Can kill a dog if it's given in the right proportions.
Mm-hmm. Onions is another dangerous thing, right?
Yes, they are, although I've had on occasions a couple of my clients know that their dogs get into the garden and have eaten onions, and it doesn't affect them. but you don't want to, on the average, feed onions to dogs because, particular product within the onion itself that can cause problems to the dog.
Let's take a phone call. Our number is 283-2525 if you want to ask the veterinarian. Hi, caller. This is Dave. You have a question for Dr. Damon? Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Sure. Oh, okay, yeah. A quick question.
Sure.
I have a dog. She's about 15. She's a chow mix. At any rate, she developed a growth on her tongue, on the side of her tongue, and I've been watching it, and it got so doggone big, she's having a hard time eating now and drinking. And I looked on I have a smartphone, and I looked on that, and it said that there's two different types of, I guess it would be a tumor, and one is an oral papilloma,
mm-hmm.
which is a oral wart, and then the other one is, I can't even pronounce it. But at any rate, I have another dog that lives with her, and the one is a virus, from what I understand. And
right.
I'm worried that that could spread to my other dog. Is that possible? They eat together and whatnot.
Where is it on the tongue? In the front, side, or in the back?
She don't like me messing with it, but I was able the other day to get her to open her mouth, and it's on the side, and it's doesn't look like it's attached much larger. Where it's attached is probably your little finger.
Uh-huh. Well, it could be a growth or a tumor. Oral papillomas do occur in dogs. That's a wart that's caused by a virus. There is venereal tumors that can occur on the tongue and sometimes oral cavities of dogs. And then there's also a what's called a melanoma, which is black, totally black. Sometimes it can be amelanotic, which would mean that it does not have any pigment whatsoever. They're all kind of dangerous because they're on a part of the tongue that you can't do without. If you kind of realize your tongue does most of your work in your mouth as far as speech, as far as humans go. If it's there and she's 15 years old and she's lived this long without any problems, I'm not so sure you would want to kind of consider removing it. But
but she's having, it's getting so large, it's actually, it's taking the form of her mouth. And
right.
It's actually, where it's so large, it's restricting her from taking food. And
right.
I've been spoon feeding her with canned food.
Which is a problem because now you're up against the wall because of age. It's kind of 15 years old. It still can be removed, and I've done older dogs and things, but you're getting yourself backed into a corner when you're speaking about what can be done. And, you know, eventually things will get big enough that they start to involve the manual part of mastication of food. So I definitely get it looked at,
get an opinion. About a month ago. Yeah, it wasn't quite as big. And that's what I thought. Well, I'll doctor with her home and see her. And she was good right up till a couple of days ago. And I looked in her mouth, and it looked like it had gotten larger. And now this is a question I have, too. She's old, and she also has dementia. But other than that, she's in pretty good shape, but she is losing a little weight now because of this. And I don't want to put her through a lot of pain over it. And I didn't know, she gave me a price on cutting it off and whatnot. But there was painkillers involved and all that.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't want to, at her age, I didn't know if I should even do it or just put her to sleep,
you know. It's your dog and your opinion, and you know what her care is going to be and things. And put yourself in her place to a certain degree. And do you want to struggle with this thing, or do you want to have it taken off easily and things? So you always kind of put yourself in the dog's avenue and judge where you feel you'd want to get it done. Now, like I said, costs can get above what you'd want to pay, and the best thing would be so that the dog doesn't suffer and things and start to lose weight and things because of the growth, is to gently and easily have her put to sleep, which I know is a little bit of a devastation, but if it's causing some problems and she's struggling, then I think at that point in time you should arrive at a decision whether you'd want to go further or to let her go peacefully.
It's more or less, I guess I'm considering my feelings about it because I'd sure miss her, you know.
It's a tough call, but I'll give you some advice at least on how to proceed.
Well, yeah, I'm going to that's the thing. The lady said, it was a vet lady, and she said that she couldn't guarantee anything, and she's an old dog, and I just didn't know how much painful, you know, situation it would be, because it said in on my smartphone, it said that you not only have to remove the growth, you have to actually remove the skin around where it's attached.
Right.
So that could get into like a good part of her tongue and
right.
stuff, you know.
Right.
You know how sensitive your tongue
is. That's what Dr. Damon said.
So, okay. Well, I just was curious to know. Well,
I wish you,
from you,
wish you the best, and hopefully everything works out for you.
Well, thanks for the call.
I just didn't know about the virus until I looked on my smartphone. I was wondering, is that contagious? But
I don't think so.
You don't know.
No.
Oh, you don't think so? Okay.
I don't think so. And if you don't see any signs that it's occurring else on the other dog, I would say not.
It said the virus, it gets like a little, it's like a little white patches in their mouth, and then they'll sort of form into like a cauliflower.
Right.
Okay, so just keep, but is there some type of, would you give the dog an antibiotic if you just noticed something like that? Would they treat it with an antibiotic, or is there something I could give her to?
Not really at this state, other than removal.
Removal. Yeah, there's nothing that you can give them
you
to
can't
get rid
really,
of it other than removal.
Right.
Okay. All righty. Well,
okay.
Well,
good.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah,
good
thank
to talk
you, doctor.
With you.
Yeah.
Good question. He said his chow mix was 15 years old. Is that particularly old for that breed?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So that's another consideration. As you said, he said she's starting to lose weight, having problems eating and chewing. So
yeah, she would have to pass some qualifications, which would be some blood work, in order to consider that tumor could be removed, mm-hmm. or growth of whatever it is could be removed safely without any problems further after surgery. So if she met the qualifications and things, then we could go ahead and proceed with it.
When dogs get to a certain age, and 15 is pretty old for a dog, then you have to really be concerned about whether or not they'd be able to have surgery?
Yes, because you don't want to compromise, because if they're in some sort of liver failure or kidney problems, mm-hmm. and you go ahead and do surgery without compensating for those problems, then shortly after surgery, you've got another problem on your hand, which is the kidneys or liver, and you don't want to spend a lot of money and have those things happen. So we have to kind of know up front what you're getting into and things before we then try to do something to aid the dog.
Our phone number is 283-2525 if you want to ask the veterinarian. He's Dr. Dennis Damon from Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 just south of Butler, and he's here in the studio. 283-2525. We were talking about no-no foods during the holidays, particularly for your dog. Grapes, raisins, onions, chocolate. What about nuts? Are nuts harmful to pets?
Nuts are okay within limits.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs don't eat and chew them like we do, so they would be swallowing them whole, and if they would eat quite a considerable amount, they could impact in the stomach or the intestinal tract.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
So they don't grind their food. They tear and swallow their food, so theoretically, they could cause some problems that you don't think about in the human side.
What about healthy things that a pet might eat at holiday time? I know you've mentioned to callers in the past that pumpkin can actually be good for dogs at times, right?
Yes, they can. It's a good food for fiber. Sometimes some dogs have problems with their anal glands, which are the scent glands on the back end of their rectal area, and sometimes they get impacted in things, an abscess. Sometimes you can give pumpkin on a daily basis and aid in the expression of those glands when they go out and defecate and they do their pucker. To cut the stool off, they actually massage that gland and extract the material with it. So sometimes that's an aid. and benefit for them.
We're not talking about a whole pumpkin pie here.
No.
But
about a teaspoon to a tablespoon, depending on the size of your dog, every day.
A lot of pets get anxious over the holidays because you get visitors, you know. Maybe Aunt Ethel and Uncle Fred are staying for a weekend, or you get a lot of visitors coming to the house for an evening. What if you gave your dog a little piece of turkey? You know, turkey tends to make people sleepy sometimes. Got that tryptophan in it.
Yeah. Doesn't seem to affect, at least I've never seen it affect dogs. It isn't an adjective, and I know at Thanksgiving, the two aunts that we go to, they give their dogs turkey for the next 2 to 3 weeks after Thanksgiving. And I don't think they sleep a lot.
What's the best thing, I guess? Maybe just keep the dogs, if you have dogs that get extremely anxious with strangers around, just keep them in another part of the house.
That, or you can give them, there are certain medicines that can be given that can calm them down and things. With other owners in the household, but you have to use prudence when you're using those items.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been in homes where you know, a dog just goes absolutely bonkers when a stranger comes in the front door. You
yep,
know.
Yep,
go crazy. What about the daily ration, the daily food? Do you need to give your dog a little bit extra in the wintertime to help keep them warm?
No. Just your daily type of food. If you're going to keep them warm and things, you can buy them, quote, a gift of the varieties of coats and things.
Mm-hmm.
Will suffice. But the problem is when you start feeding more food, it kind of breaks an old habit, and then you start to do it consistently, or you forget, and your dog does get obese.
Yeah.
So.
And they probably would tend to have a little bit less exercise in the winter months, just as we do.
Right.
Because you're not outside as much. Huh?
So theoretically, it can fold in on itself, because you feed more food, they exercise left, so now the weight is gained twice as fast in the wintertime as it does in the summertime.
Now, a couple of other notes as we head into the Arctic weather, the cold weather. We've actually had cold weather for quite a while. November was way below normal temperatures. Obviously, for outdoor animals, you want to make sure that the water bowl is not frozen all the time, because they can't get water if it's frozen.
Right.
So take care of that, and fresh bedding, I guess, in a doghouse. We had a dog that lived outside.
Yep. You try to on days that it goes below zero, I would make an attempt to place them inside or in somewhere directly away from the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Because they suffer with extreme cold weather, even though that there are some dogs that prefer to be outside versus inside.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to us to judge that particular situation and either take care of matters in their own hands and provide them with shelters that will aid them in warmth and things.
Let's take another call. Our phone number is 283-2525 if you would like to ask the veterinarian. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Doctor. How are you this afternoon?
Very well.
We're good.
Thank you. I wish you happy holidays to both of you. And I'd just like to make a comment to the guy that was the first caller. I feel very sorry for him. It's a hard situation to make. But I've had to put a couple dogs down myself. You got to think, you know, people believe that they cross that rainbow and you will see them when you pass. And if you leave, if you free them, they will be running and romping around, but no pain.
Absolutely. When they go to their sort of heaven and things, they're absolutely free of pain. And it's spoken of in several places throughout the Bible on animals. So I'm a firm believer that if they're struggling here, don't allow that to take a course and continue. Try to do what's necessary so that they can be free of it, their agony in the time that they have left.
You, caller, did you say you had to make this tough decision a couple of times already?
Yes, I have, yeah. But I felt when you see how miserable they are and you remember how they ran and how happy they were when they were young and healthy, you know, you're doing the right thing. You know, it's hard, but you just, you know, it's the right thing to do, I think.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for your call.
And I just wanted to share.
Sure.
Can I share just a little happy story?
Well, please go right ahead. Please do.
Oh, okay. I have a little tweenie, and a lady gave them to me. She spent money, and she got all her shots and had them neutered, which was, I was very grateful, and she gave them to me, and I told her that she could come and see him anytime. Well, life got busy between the two of us, and we didn't, like, see each other for 6 months, and she was just over recently. And that little dog, you know, recognized her, and she sat on the couch, and he was just all over her lap and licked her, and he was just wagging his tail a million miles an hour. He was so happy to see her.
Yes, and it's amazing how animals can be taken away from their former owners and things, but then later in life be either reunited with them, and it's just like a key that flips in their head, and they know that was a previous owner.
Hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. Animals can be so amazing.
It's a good story. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Good to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a break. It's Ask the Veterinarian today on It's Your Turn. Dr. Dennis Damon is here from Suburban Animal Clinic. We'll take a break and be back with more right after these words.
Tobacco for Less is perfect if you like to think big. Tobacco for Less is Western Pennsylvania's largest glass emporium, which has hundreds of glass pipes, a custom walk-in humidor stocked with a huge selection of cigars, and a 19-foot vape juice bar. They're always stocked with standard tobacco products, and their health and wellness department maintains a wide selection of CBD products. Tobacco for Less is always expanding and adding to their product lines. Be sure to check out their Sharon location that has just added a large health and wellness department. Stop by one of their locations in Butler, Sharon, or Aliquippa for all your smoking and vaping needs.
And happy holidays from Tobacco for Less.
Are you looking to buy a house for the first time? At Armco Credit Union, they're known for competitive rates and low fees. But did you know their mortgage specialists will work with you every step of the way to make sure your best interests are served? Call the mortgage department at 724-284-2020 and ask them about their first-time home buyer program that allows a minimum down payment of only 3%. Don't have time to call or visit? Simply apply for a mortgage online, armcocu.com. Armco Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity and is federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. Ask the Veterinarian on the program today. Dr. Dennis Damon is here. His practice is at Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South, about 5 miles south of Butler at the intersection of Route 8 and Thorncrest Drive, Suburban Animal Clinic. I was doing my mathematics there during the break, Dr. Damon, with reference to the caller who said his chow mix was 15 years old. If you use the old, the old adage about 1 year of our time is 7 years of a dog's life, that makes that dog over 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Well over 100 years old. Wow.
And still moving around and doing well and fighting a devastating disease, which is interfering with his ability to take food. That's an amazing task.
This is a generalization here, but are there some breeds of dogs that tend to live longer than others?
Yes, there are. The bigger your dog gets, size-wise, the less in years that they kind of live.
Really?
Now, Great Danes generally average between 9 and 11, although I've had Great Danes go to 14 or 15, which is unusual.
Mm-hmm.
Bulldogs sometimes will make 10 to 12. Very small dogs seem to live much longer than large dogs because of the metabolic processes that's going on in their body. So on an average, the smaller the dog, the longer the living, the larger the dog likely is to be deficient in years when they get to their 10th or 12th birthday.
I know I saw a story just a couple of days ago, this past weekend, I believe, about one of the police dogs, canine officers. It was in Westmoreland County, I believe. It was in another county. It wasn't here locally, but the police dog was going to be retiring, and they had a picture of the dog, and, you know, somebody was watching with me said, well, that dog looks perfectly healthy, you know. But, of course, police dogs tend to be large breeds, and, you know, they just are not able to do the job that they're trained to do for as long as we might think.
No.
You know?
No, they generally retire the police dogs somewhere around 8 to 10 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
Then become the handler's dogs. So
that was the case in Westmoreland County.
Right.
The dog was going to go live with his handler.
And or if the handler isn't available and things, somebody in the police force will take over and take care of him. But for the fact of being old and things, that's generally what they do is retire.
There was a story this fall. And I forgot to ask you about the last time you were here. It was one of the dog parks that we have, and that was one of the ones in Cranberry, I think, that was temporarily closed. We got a news release on it. Dog park temporarily closed as a precaution due to reported kennel cough in Butler County. And that was a term that I had never heard of before, kennel cough. Are you familiar with that? What is that anyway?
Well, it's... Kennel cough is actually the reason why it's called kennel cough is it's associated with transfer of a virus from animal to animal.
Mm-hmm.
So kennel cough, you would think gathering of animals in a kennel, so cough would develop, and it's generally contagious. So an area can be seeded down with a particular virus that when dogs are sneezing and things, or coughing, they will spread that particular virus on that property.
Mm-hmm.
And then other dogs that come in, even though that they're not doing anything, they sniff and smell the ground, sometimes pick up something and chew it. And so, consequently, that's a very good avenue where you can get contagious diseases spread from animal to animal. The fact of animals defecating in one area, being it's a small area, I always worry about the fact that they can pick up parasites and things even in those dog walk parks, because not everybody picks their stool up and puts it in a container somewhere. Although they have them available there, they still don't use them. They just say, well, it'll go away. It disintegrates, but then the parasites are left to infect other animals.
What about allergies in the wintertime? Do they tend to be more serious or more prevalent in the winter as opposed to the summer? I thought about this before asking the question. I could go two ways. I mean, you know, in the warm weather, your pets tend to be outdoors more, so there's pollen and grass and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, when they're in the wintertime, when you're inside much more, I mean, there are allergens indoors, too.
Right, absolutely. But we see less problems with it during the winter versus the summertime. It's there. There is a new shot out that you give your dog an injection, and it helps with certain allergies and things, which causes dogs either to lick at their feet or do a lot of chewing or scratching. Mm-hmm. And it's an aid to it. And we used to use corticosteroids to help animals. This particular shot is not a corticosteroid. It's actually a fighting certain elements in the bloodstream that are formed by these viruses and antigens that we react to, and that does and is successful. So if their dog is having an allergy they don't want to use a corticosteroid because it can cause obesity and problems with the adrenal glands and things like that, this is available.
This shot inoculation works pretty well. You recommend it?
Yep. Matter of fact, I gave two of them this morning, and the owners last time, it was about 6 or 7 weeks ago, said within a few days it drastically helped the dog, and it lasted about 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
Hmm. When humans are bothered by allergies, the common symptoms are sinus problems, you know, runny nose and watery eyes. Do allergens affect dogs the same way, or do they present differently whenever they're bothered by allergies?
Similarly, but we see less of eye problems, more skin involved than like in people.
You mean itchy or something?
Yes,
like that?
Itchy, scratchy, licking at the feet, all 4 feet involved, where they have feet involvement. They'll spend a great amount of time scratching and chewing, and then their skin gets infected, and so you have to use a combination of antibiotics and injections to help that dog out.
Hmm. Talking with Dr. Dennis Damon, a veterinarian at Suburban Animal Clinic. How do you know how much to feed your dog? You know, we hear a lot about obesity in pets these days and how that can be very harmful to their health, just as it is in humans. But how do you know the proper, you know, we have pet owners that want to be very responsible, but how do you know?
Actually, whatever the bag says, you actually should feed a little less because
they're trying to sell dog food.
to a certain degree, yes. I've seen some amounts that I seem enormous. I have a Great Dane at home, and if I was to feed him what the bag says, it would be 4 huge cups of food, and he probably would be a blimp. But I feed under, generally. He weighs about 95 to 105, and he, on the average, eats about 4 cups in the morning and 3 cups in the evening. We cut him back in the evening, one cup. and that maintains his weight where it is. Mm-hmm. Now, you as the owner would start feeding the dog, but I don't think people recognize how obese their animals are because they never realize how much they weigh until they bring them into the office.
Yeah, yeah.
This morning, I had a dog that comes in from the home that services the men that have fought in the wars and things, the veterans' home. And when he comes in, I always kind of get a little bit upset with the owners because the men in the the home actually feed that dog. Plus, he gets fed his regular food.
He's eating too much. Huh?
He's eating too much, which he weighed about 120 pounds for a Labrador who should be about 80 pounds.
Oh, wow.
So
that's pretty dangerous to be that overweight, right?
Yes, it is. I keep telling her or the lady that brings them in to maybe use some discretion. But I can see how it can happen because the men over there, they don't have anything to do all day except to worry about whether that animal's getting fed or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize that Joe and Ken and Tim and everybody else in there is feeding sandwiches and things. So, you know, half their sandwich isn't going to hurt. Well, at time of the end of the day comes around, he may have consumed 1,500 to 2,000 calories more than what he should have.
And they want to treat the dog.
Right.
You know?
They think he's sad unless he's eating.
Common tendency.
Right.
A good thought, perhaps, as we head into the holiday period, because there's going to be a lot of food around, that's for sure. Let's take a break here, and we'll be back to talk more on Ask the Veterinarian here on It's Your Turn on WISR this Tuesday, back after these words. Here's a gift idea for somebody special on your holiday gift list. How about a gift certificate from Butler Motor Tours? They'd be glad to help you out. You can get a gift certificate for any particular amount, and then you can give it to grandma or a special person on your list. They can decide where they'd like to go and use your gift certificate toward the cost of their trip. So they decide where they want to go. You help them get there. Butler Motor Tours, a local company. They're on South Monroe Street in Butler. You know, they've been taking folks from our area to places near and far for over 75 years. Give them a call or stop in. They'll be glad to help you out with a holiday gift certificate. Butler Motor Tours. Check them out online for some of their trip offerings. Their website is easy to remember. It's butlerbus.com. Butlerbus.com. Butler Motor Tours, gift ideas for the holidays. Butler Motor Tours online at butlerbus.com.
Like it or not, winter is coming. Not to worry, West End Tire and Service has over 400 snow tires in stock for cars and light-duty trucks. They also sell tires for large trucks, trailers, heavy equipment, skid loaders, backhoes, and more. With a vast selection of Cooper tires, West End Tire and Service prides itself on offering the same great installation and service as Siemens provided for years. Plus, they have the same great staff, too. Call 724-287-6973 or stop by West End Tire Service today, West Cunningham Street in Butler.
One of our sponsors on the program today is Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. Last-minute holiday gifts to go out to family and friends, and you just haven't gotten around to, you know, packaging them up yet. Take them up to Gone Postal Butler. Shockey Mini Storage Complex. That's right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road. It's your friendly neighborhood shipping center, Gone Postal Butler. They package your items for shipping. It's very convenient. You don't have to worry about finding the right size box and everything. I've used their services. It's terrific. It's affordable. It's fast. It's convenient. Gone Postal Butler for last-minute holiday gifts to be shipped out. They're open Monday through Friday right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road. Let's take another call. Let's ask the veterinarian today. 283-2525 is our number. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave and Dr. Damien. I called a little bit ago.
Yes.
I just want to add, if you should put your dog down to stay with them, or any pet, stay with them at that time.
Yeah. It's I generally recommend that you do, although some people don't want to be there for reasons that they don't want to see death and things, and I recognize that. What I try to do is to help them by just having them go out of the room, and then whenever it's all done and taken care of and things, bringing them back in the room and say goodbye to him. But most people have said their farewells and things by the time they get to the office, but we try to accommodate whatever privilege the owner would ask us to do to help the dog through this compromising moment. So strongly recommend it, but if they don't, we would accommodate that situation.
Mm. Yeah. Well, just remember your touch, your loving touch, and your face is the last thing that they see before they leave.
Good point. Thank you, caller. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Doctor, do you or other veterinarians, do you counsel people who are having to consider putting a pet down?
We do. I will spend the time to sort of counsel people. They do have grievance sessions, various places. The one grievance place that I think it's a Monday evening does occur, where people have a difficult time losing a pet and things, is down at the emergency center on Camp Horn Road. They have a specific individual that will help mentor individuals that go through this rough time.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are many people who, you know, it doesn't take long to get attached to a pet.
Nope.
And I don't know. It seems to me, especially a dog, I don't know. They tend to be, I've never been a cat person, but cats seem to be very finicky and persnickety, whereas dogs, unconditional love, you know, from a dog. And you see people out, you know, walking their dogs on a regular basis. I know when I'm traveling through the city of Butler, I've seen the same person out with a dog multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm coming down a certain street. And there's a bond that develops there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's understandable if the need may be, if an animal is, you know, suffering because of condition or because of old age or serious illness. It's tough. I can understand why people might want a little help, a little advice, you know, a little counseling. You know, before they make that decision.
Yes, they do. And they there's never any right time to really, really consider this. It's basically a time that you're prepared to accept that individual passing. And a lot of people think that animals struggle, and sometimes they do, but they're there to see for your comfort. And I'm always amazed how long they will tolerate certain disease processes before they give up.
Mm-hmm.
Just simply because they want to stay with the owners and be with the owners. And they will struggle with pain and disease and things. a lot longer than what our humans will, basically because that's the only thing that they know how to do is to fight situations like that.
And, of course, they're unable to tell us how much it hurts.
Right, right.
Well, serious considerations, of course. Something else that we should talk about as we're approaching holiday time here, a lot of people will give a gift of a pet at Christmas time. It could be to a partner or a spouse. It could be to a child in the family. A lot of things to consider before you do that, right?
I think there is. The people have to be accepting of the pet. The worst time to give a pet to a person is during a holiday. But any time, I guess, is more likely than anything else. However, the festivities and things of the holidays and things sometimes get overridden and overshadowed to a certain degree. I always kind of tell people for a child, probably the a gift of a pet at Christmas is probably okay, simply because if that's what they want and they've really thought about it and things, they are ready for it. But an impromptu type of gift like that on a person, it might be not something that they are willing, or it wasn't the right type of dog and things. So you want to have all your oars in line when you're giving a gift is because a pet's a pet, and it's a lifelong pet.
I'm sure a lot of kids, you know, and most folks will probably experience this among family or friends where a little girl asks for a puppy, you know, Christmas, puts that on a Christmas list, and all puppies are cute, but there's a time and a place, and you got to make sure that you know, a child is old enough to understand the responsibility of having a pet.
Right.
You know, it's right. Not just something that you play with for a couple of hours on Christmas morning and then that's it, you know.
Right. It's not a toy. It's a lifelong obligation to be there. And I think you have to be prepared for it.
Take another break. We're chatting with Dr. Dennis Damon from Suburban Animal Clinic on the It's Your Turn program today. We'll be back to continue our conversation after these words.
When you or someone you care for needs skilled nursing and or physical therapy, Concordia Visiting Nurses can help relieve the stress you're feeling and put your mind at ease. Concordia Visiting Nurses professional services bring the best in expert care right into your own home. If your doctor prescribes home health care upon discharge from the hospital or from his or her office, please choose Concordia Visiting Nurses.
Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, the only executive-level fitness center in Butler, providing a clean, unintimidating environment with modern equipment and a full-time staff to assist you. A proud partner of the Silver Sneakers and Prime Networks, Applewood offers classes like Silver Sneakers, Pyo, and high-intensity interval training. Open daily, the fitness center has flexible membership options and discounts for students, military, and paid EMS employees. See more at applewoodchiro.com. Must have valid student or military ID or proof of EMS employment for discount.
Escape the hustle and bustle and enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner at Michael's Restaurant. Meet at Michael's for a get-together with family and friends or on your way to or from the light show. And don't forget, every Friday night is prime rib night. Need a quick gift? Michael's Restaurant gift cards also make great stocking stuffers.
In 2019, Tri-Rivers celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community. I'm Dr. Scott Rainey.
an orthopedic back and neck surgeon at Tri-Rivers. Whether I'm in the office treating patients for conditions such as cervical or lumbar stenosis, or in the operating room performing innovative procedures like disc replacements, I'm proud to care for patients in the Butler community. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
The Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, located at 140 Newcastle Road. It's about halfway up Newcastle Hill, just down from the State Police Barracks. This is the Butler area's newest funeral home, Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home, the first and only value-designed funeral home, built specifically for that purpose. A funeral home that offers styles, types, and levels of service that others are not able or willing to offer. They can transfer all prearranged funeral services and policies as well. It's an entirely new idea. It's local, and there's a hometown gentleman running the operation, Spencer D. Geibel. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 140 Newcastle Road in Butler. Not affiliated with any other funeral home.
It's Ask the Veterinarian on the It's Your Turn program today. I'm Dave Malarkey. Dr. Dennis Damon from Suburban Animal Clinic is here. And we have a caller with a question. Caller, thanks for waiting. Go right ahead. It's your turn with the doctor. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Sure.
I wanted to ask, I kind of caught the tail end of you speaking to this a moment ago, but we are in the process of switching our dog from one food to another.
Mm-hmm.
And the old food, we gave her two cups per day, one at each meal. The new food has us giving her three cups a day. Is that going to make a difference? I mean, I don't want her to gain weight.
Well, I would still do two cups.
Okay.
If you read on the thing or the bag, if the content of a cup of food is equal to 150 kilocalories, we'll just say.
Okay.
If they're both the same, then I would continue to feed what I fed on the old package.
Okay.
And
we're feeding her From. We're going from like a Purina product to From.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm not familiar with that particular food, but if you look and see what's in a cup of food.
Okay.
And because it's all based on kilocalories.
Got it.
And if you look at a dog when it's at home, it's not an active dog. How many hours of the day does your dog lay in the prone position?
Yeah, I would now it's like a lot more than in the summer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's not utilizing its proteins and things as well.
Okay.
So theoretically, it doesn't need that energy as it does during the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're switching foods, number one, you want to use your old food still with the new food.
Right.
And increase the new food as you use up the old food.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. And
yeah.
The second thing is you want to feed about equivalent to the same amount. And that's all judged on kilocalories of food. So you
okay.
have to look on the bag and see what
okay.
is, whether it's equal to, less than, or more than.
All right.
Yeah, in my opinion, another whole cup of food is like a lot of food for a dog.
It is,
you know?
Yeah. and especially in a very small dog.
Seems like it to me, too.
Well, she's about 40, 45 pounds. She's a pit bull.
Okay.
Well,
it's still a lot of food because over a period of a year, that's quite a considerable amount of food.
Compare the calories on the bag. That'll give you your best answer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're right here, and I'll find the ones on the other one, too.
All right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Sure, sure. That's what we're here for. Yeah, thanks. Doctor, always informative. Yeah.
Well, I thank you for being here, and wish our general public out there a very Merry Christmas, and we have to also now say Happy New Year.
That's right. Oh, hate to think about that.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. That's true.
All righty. Thanks. Dr. Dennis Damon with us from Suburban Animal Clinic, 5 miles south of Butler on Route 8 at Thorncrest Drive. Dr. Dennis Damon. Okay, that wraps up our program today. Hey, we have a sports doubleheader for you tonight on WISR. We have Nauk boys basketball. First of all, Nauk is on the road at Valley tonight. Scott Briggs will be calling the game. Airtime 7:20. And then the Penguins play late. The Penguins are beginning their road swing through Western Canada. They'll be in Calgary tonight. And the game doesn't start till 9 o'clock. So we'll have Penguin hockey after Nauk boys basketball tonight. I'm Dave Malarkey. That wraps up our program for today. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and we'll see you tomorrow at 12:30 for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Making a list, checking it twice. He's gonna find out